Hi, I'm Dave Scott. Welcome to Living by the Words of God.
Hi, I'm Carrie Scott. Please listen as I read 2 Peter 3:9-11 and 13. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells.
A vista is a distant view or prospect, especially one seen through an opening, as between rows of buildings or trees. In this text, Peter calls his listeners to a vista. Immersed in a culture that scoffed at the promise of God's coming and his role as creator, these believers needed to be reminded of God's promise of a new heaven and new earth, and to live accordingly. Recently, Carrie and I were returning home from a trip to the Clinton Walmart. As we approached the overpass just north of town on Highway 41, I could see in the distance, through a break in the trees, the power plant on the river to the west. Seemingly standing by itself, the cold winter air accenting the white clouds billowing from the chimneys. This vista sprung on me like turning a page in a history book, and instantly having my attention riveted to a photograph of a day gone by, or a glimpse of a faraway land. I have always had a fascination for power plants. I remember a field trip in school when we visited what I believe was the old Dresser power plant. I was captured. The sounds, the sense of the enormous amount of power being generated. The perception of danger and security at the same time. So, unexpectedly, through this break in the trees, for just a moment, I was called away from the routine of my Saturday afternoon.
Vista, a distant view, especially one seen through an opening, as between rows of trees or buildings.
We need vistas in our lives, the distant views of what God promises. Through this study, I want to help you see the vista of heaven and the mighty God of heaven through the openings between the trees of the everyday circumstances of our lives. We need a room with a view, that distant horizon, those exceptional moments, peaks and glimpses of eternity, to help us honor God in the ordinary, day-to-day events of our lives. Living by the words of God enables us to live with the perspective of now and later. Living by the words of God helps us see between the trees and buildings as God gives us an eternal perspective that doesn't leave out daily opportunities to bring Him glory. Some people only want the vista. They want to remain on the mountaintop, but there is work to be done down in the valley, opportunities to glorify God in the ordinary. And this is our greatest opportunity to honor God with our faith, in the common, the everyday, the ordinary. We do this by living these moments, living by the words of God in the simple things, daily decisions of righteousness, how we treat our neighbor, how we greet people throughout our day, how we speak to those in our families, making moral and ethical decisions in our business, working our jobs to the honor of Christ. We might ask ourselves, when is the last time I saw the new heaven and new earth through the trees? When is the last time I examined what type of person I should be in view of the destruction of this earth and our coming Lord? What am I doing in the everyday, ordinary events of my life that allows me to live in a place with a view toward forever?
John 5:39-40. You make search in the holy writings, in the belief that through them you get eternal life. And it is those writings which give witness about me, and still you have no desire to come to me, so that you may have life.
How is that for missing the view? All of their daily labor in the Scriptures did not prepare them to see the Son of God, who was at that very moment standing in their presence. Contrast that with the blind man Jesus healed in John 9.
John 9:35-38. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him.
Wow! This man went from total darkness to worship in the presence of the Son of God. He didn't miss the vista, did he? I read recently in Lamentations 2:14, and wanted to take the time today to exhort you to not miss your opportunities, to not miss your perspective of eternity that is so needed to live right in the daily. Sometimes that is the opportunity to see our wrong picture of life, or the opportunity to see our guilt. The prophets in Jeremiah's time abandoned their calling and misrepresented God because they refused to look in the distance.
Lamentations 2:14. Your prophets saw misleading visions about you. They painted a good picture of you. They didn't expose your guilt in order to make things better again. They gave you false prophecies that misled you. These deceitful prophets did not address the present in view of what would come later. With our study, we want to help you hear God's voice and to hear God's voice over any other. Today we are in Lesson 5, Helpers and Barriers. Our overview is 5.1, Highlighted Resource Bible Encyclopedia, 5.2, Study Helpers, 5.3, Barriers to Effective Study.
5.1, Highlighted Resource Bible Encyclopedia. A one- or two-volume Bible encyclopedia is helpful as a general information source. This tool is especially helpful for someone who has become a Christian very recently, but it can also prove very useful for anyone. Maybe you are reading and would like to know what Urim and Thummim are, or would like more information on a biblical character such as Ruth or David. Grab your handy Bible encyclopedia, and you have this information alphabetically arranged and at your disposal. Here is a summary of what you might find in a Bible encyclopedia. Many commentaries of each book, theological content, general life and times of the biblical world, persons in the Bible, historical entries, religious practices and groups, geographical information, and archaeological information. 5.2, Study Helpers. What I would like to do now is introduce you to what I call study helpers, words, phrases, and expressions that can help us explore passages in each aspect of our inductive study. These expressions are probably most valuable in the observation stage, but since we are to continually investigate and inquire, we will find them helpful also as we interpret and apply. What these expressions do is help us to probe without locking ourselves into preconceived ideas. For instance, as we write down our thoughts, we may find it beneficial in some places to say, "This team seems to say," as opposed to, "This teaches us that." Let me give an example from Ephesians 5, 21 and 22.
Submitting to one another in the fear of God, Ephesians 5, 21. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, Ephesians 5, 22.
In Ephesians 5, 22, as we were writing down our thoughts, we could write that Paul instructs wives to submit to their own husbands. Paul's teaching is very clear. We would not use our study helper here and say, "This seems to say," because it clearly states, "Wives, submit." However, in Ephesians 5:21, as we develop our context, I would write in my notebook that this seems to be also speaking of a mutual submission between husband and wife as fellow believers in Christ. Verses 18 to 21 speak to being filled by the Holy Spirit and seem to be giving us a descriptive account of the characteristics evident of a person filled with the Holy Spirit. So it seems that husbands are to be submissive also as fellow believers in Christ. I'm not going to develop this at this time, and I hope I didn't distract someone with the submission issue, but this would be a good example to identify what we know for sure, let preliminary observations be identified as such, and allow the thought of the text to develop through our emotions on this controversial subject. Study helpers can enable us to work through our intellectual and emotional issues to get to the truth of a passage. Any word or phrase that helps in this process is good. Here are some that I use. This seems to say, could this mean, huh, what if, what about? 5.2, study helpers, usage and usefulness. We use these words and expressions, and whatever other ones you might come up with, to instigate our thinking and to free up our writing so we do not become locked into drawing premature conclusions. Don't stop and figure it all out at this moment. Write it down. This will help the Holy Spirit direct our minds to what a passage of Scripture actually says. Remember, we read, we write, we reflect, and we respond. These expressions can help us in all the stages of our pursuit to find God's intended meaning. When we approach Scripture with this openness to learn, we will be much more confident in the truth of God's Word, as He is the one doing the teaching. Now, let's look at some very real barriers to effective study. I do not have these necessarily listed in any order of importance. just some helpful observations that I've collected over the years. I read this once. Learn from the mistake of others. You don't have time to make them all. We will choose some of these to highlight this week. Our opinion. More on this in Lesson 6, but if I had intentionally listed these barriers in order of importance, I would very likely have started here. Proverbs 18:2, fools have no desire to learn. They would much rather give their own opinion. Secondly, wanting to impress. Proverbs 25:27, it is not good to eat much honey, so to seek one's own glory is not glory. Another is wanting to justify, looking for a loophole. You'll find this in Luke 10:25-29. The lawyer had the answers for Jesus, but not the answer. He wanted to justify himself. Thinking we can't. Well, we can because this is God's intent, that we do. Another is familiarity with the passage. Oh, I know what this passage is about. Click, and we shut it off. Too often we think we already know a passage inside and out, and this blocks us from seeing what God is actually saying. Undue urgency to have the answer. Thinking that you have to have the answer in a prescribed period of time, such as during a Bible study, and your pride is on the line to come up with an answer. Searching for the hidden meaning. I remember a man in our first church talking to me about searching the Bible for the hidden meanings. One thing searching for miracles and the phenomenal and hidden truth tell me, the person either doesn't remember or hasn't tasted the goodness and grace of God in His pure word. Proving our point. Some people only study the Bible to prove a point, or better yet, to prove someone else wrong. We are the ones the words of God need to speak to and renew and transform first. Jumping to conclusions. Latching on or hanging on to an interpretation in spite of new information. Not living by truth we do learn. This is possibly the worst because here we are up to our ears in deceit. We must understand and accept the dynamic nature of knowing truth. If we do not live the truth, do the truth, we will deceive ourselves. James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not only hearers of it, blinding yourselves with false ideas. During our last pastorate, we lived in a beautiful part of northern Michigan. One of our favorite things to do was to grab two cappuccinos at our local coffee shop and ride the countryside. One day, Carrie and I were cruising along. The scenery was nice and enjoyable until we popped over a hill, and there suddenly was Lake Michigan. Brilliant blue water, yellow and blue sky. Amazing. We had not realized we were that close, but poof, there we were, descending to the shoreline. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. Whoosh! Everything here gone, everything there present. One day, that is precisely what is going to happen. Cruising along in life, we pop over the horizon, and there we will be, in eternity. So what manner of persons ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness?
Remember, you may contact us by phone at 1-888-419-4418 or on the web at livingbythewordsofgod.com.
Thanks for listening. Dave and Carrie Scott, livingbythewordsofgod.com.